You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Baruta.
Chris Gilpin.
And dead silence.
Dead silence.
And dead.
Hey, is anybody reading Amazing Spider-Man? Are you guys up to date?
I read one, and then I saw you say something bad about number 2, so I didn't bother buying it.
You didn't buy it? Anybody else? Yet. Nobody?
No.
That was last week, so Guy can spoil it?
Sure.
All right. Frack you, Nick Spencer. Frack you. That's all I got to say. Right off the bat.
Is Nick Spencer pulling a Nick Spencer?
Nick Spencer's pulling a Nick Spencer. So, Amazing Spider-Man comes out, number 1. Peter Parker's broke, which we all enjoy. Peter Parker is got social problems. He's got job problems. He gets back together again with Mary Jane Watson, which we want. Everything's going great. We got Spider-Man back to being Spider-Man. So all Spider-Man fans are great. Everybody's happy. Issue 2 comes out. In issue 2, the strange and unusual apparatus that radioactively charged the spider that bit him in the first place.
Oh, boy.
Doc Connors, was it Lizard Man?
Lizard.
Is it the Lizard?
Yeah.
So Doc Connors has this machine, and he's working on attempting to isolate different genetic things, like he's trying to separate himself from the Lizard using this machine. And it just so happens to be the original machine that made Spider-Man in the first place.
Okay.
So him and Peter Parker are working on this. Long story, he's working with Doc Connors to get his university degree back and all this stuff.
Right, right.
Anyways, long story. Something happens. Two bad guys break in. There's a fight. There's a Spidey Doc Connors and two bad guy fight. This green mist happens because they turned on the machine. Spider-Man defeats the two bad guys. Great. Everybody's happy. Spider-Man looks through the green mist. He goes, "Oh, what are you doing down there, buddy? Let me help you up." Pulls his hand down, pulls up Peter Parker.
So Peter Parker split from Spider-Man.
This machine ripped Peter Parker out of Spider-Man, and they are now two physical bodies.
That sounds familiar.
We were getting traditional Spider-Man back. We were going
to
concentrate on real Spider-Man stories and Spider-Man being and Peter Parker. But no. Issue 2, right away.
Basically, isn't it just two Peter Parkers?
Well, one Spider-Man, one's Peter Parker. Because somehow this...
One is literally Spider-Man.
Yeah, because somehow this machine, not only did it separate their DNAs and create two bodies out of one, you know, laws of physics and all that kind of stuff. You can't generate matter like that. It also generated clothes for Peter Parker, so he's not naked.
Oh, jeez.
And a costume for Spider-Man.
Which he can't take off because it's part of his...
Well, I don't know about that. We haven't gotten to that part. That'll be issue 3. But the story is that Spider-Man and everything that makes Spider-Man Spider-Man is now out of Peter Parker. So the whippy repartee and the jokes and the blah, blah, blah and all that sort of stuff. Peter Parker doesn't have that anymore. And then the shy, loser, quiet, scientific Peter Parker is a separate body. So they're two separate people now. I'm like, oh my goodness. I thought we were going to get some classic stories for at least 12 issues before something crazy happened.
Nope.
At least 12 issues. No. Issue 2, boom. Captain America's a Nazi.
Yeah. I still might buy it because of the Ryan Ollie's artwork, but I don't know. We'll see.
Now, apparently, they were also saying that Ryan Ottley's not going to be drawing every issue.
Yeah, he's alternating.
He's going to get alternated. But the person he's alternating is Humberto, which is awesome. He's a great artist. So if you're going to have a two artists on a book, I think that'll work. It's fine. I'm not worried about that. But yeah. I'm really torn now. I'm like, oh, really? I wanted, like, classic Spidey stories. This is not going to be classic Spidey stories. This is going to be something weird. And, I mean, sure, I can hear Davis Dewsbury in my back of my mind right now going, dude, you got to read it. Got to give it a chance. Marvel's awesome. Got to give it a chance. In the meantime, I'm reading other books that I didn't put on my pull list, and I'm like, this issue number one blew me away, and I don't have room on my comic budget to put it in there. So now it's like, well, you know, there's two issues of Amazing Spider-Man. Like, I can't remember exactly what it is. 18 issues a year is being published.
So every couple months.
Or 24 is being published. I can't remember. But in the latest, in the October solicitations, there was two issues of Amazing Spider-Man. So I'm like, you know, I could put Justice League Dark and Justice League Odyssey on my pull list.
I read Justice League Dark.
Justice League Dark was good.
I couldn't figure out why Wonder Woman was on the team until I read the first issue. So
yeah, exactly.
Now I'm on board. But it was good. Yeah.
Did you read that, Dan?
I did not.
It's a good team up.
Yeah, yeah.
Good team. Man-Bat, Swamp Thing.
Tell everybody what it's about.
Well, she's trying to recruit. There's something going on with magic.
Yeah, magic's broken in the
magic
DC universe.
Magic is broken. And I guess Wonder Woman has been fighting these, or finding these magic users that are, like, turning themselves inside out, or something's turning them inside out, or ripping them apart.
Yeah, the weird things are happening in the magic DC universe. Like, Zatanna's, her spells aren't working very well, and stuff like this. And
yeah, Wonder Woman goes to her, and she's like, no, I don't want to be teamed up with you. But, so far, I mean, John Constantine's in the book, but not on the team.
Well, there's two teams, right? There's the guys that are in the House of Secrets, or was it the House of Mystery? Which house are they in? That didn't invite Wonder Woman, and then Wonder Woman's trying to start her team.
Yeah, there's her team and everybody else.
Yeah, so right? it's like there's two teams being created to solve this problem.
Yeah, and it's literally like, so she's got Swamp Thing, and Santana finally comes around. And
Detective Chimp,
Bobo,
who got a promotion.
Got a promotion because of what's his face getting his head chopped off.
Yeah,
and Man-Bat.
Man-Bat.
Interesting.
God, I like Man-Bat. I've always loved Man-Bat.
Yeah.
Back when Neil Adams drew the two issues there. Oh, man. And whenever he was in, like, Batman Family and stuff.
Yeah.
I loved Man-Bat.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you said, everyone's like, oh, you got to put Wonder Woman because she just had a movie. You got to put Wonder Woman in the comic book. Otherwise, she's not going to be popular. And you got to put Wonder Woman in otherwise. But there was actually, like, a reason for it.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense. Wonder Woman is, like, gods and the Greek and Roman gods and all this stuff, and, you know, magic lion's manes and golden harps and stuff like that. So she's really
invisible
interconnected.
Islands.
Yeah, invisible islands, invisible jets. She's really interconnected with the mystic realm.
Yeah.
So it kind of made sense. But I thought it was cool.
John Constantine wasn't in the other group, was he?
No, he's standalone. Solo, yeah, nobody likes John. Wolf.
Yeah, so every other magic user was in the house.
Yeah.
Talking about what was going on and,
trying to figure it out. And Wonder Woman's like, well, you guys aren't going to be able to figure out because you're too close to the problem, and you should join my team and we'll solve it and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's a great premise. I mean, it was a little light on characterization and story and stuff, but it was all right. I mean, it got there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be fine.
And Odyssey is the space?
Odyssey's going to be the space one, which has been delayed a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember exactly how long it's been delayed, but I think it's...
Issue one came out?
No.
No?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
I think they were saying 6 weeks.
Oops.
Or 6 months, or 2 months, or 8 weeks. I can't remember. Yeah, it was 8 weeks, 2 months.
Hmm.
And it's been delayed, so it's going to take a little while for that to come out. But I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Well, it should be good.
Lots of Justice League books.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all spinning out of that Justice League miniseries that they had.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's different.
That's right.
What about you, Dan? What'd you read this week, if anything?
This week, I read The Fallen Sons.
Oh, yeah, right on.
From Chapter House. I hadn't read that one. Bought it digitally and read it. And it was an interesting read because the entire comic is, like, 90% of the comic is flashbacks.
Yeah.
Of Pharos and how he came to be Pharos and his life before crashing to Earth and terrorizing Earth, with like 10% being the like linking narrative of what's happening in the present day. So it was an interesting read. I enjoyed it.
I think you definitely read it in the right order, reading it after Captain Canuck season 3.
I don't even know what the right order is. I just know that I hadn't read it, and so I just bought it digitally to read on my tablet.
Yeah. Because season 3 was a little bit on the late side.
Yeah.
Fallen Sons was supposed to come out afterwards and kind of fill in the blanks, because Captain Canuck battles Pharos, right?
Yeah.
And he gets captured at the end of season 3, Captain Canuck, and then Fallen Sons takes up from there. So it's supposed to, you know, fill in the blanks on who this space guy is and set things up for invasion, because now it's the guys that Pharos was fighting are the ones that are coming to Earth to start this invasion.
And, of course, Pharos has the critical information that he gives them at the very end of the series. Like, hey, if you do this, maybe you can defeat them.
Yeah. I got to reread the whole thing, because I know it was a little... I read the two first physical books, and then the digital 3 and 4 came out, and I read those. Or was it one physical book?
I think...
Three digital.
Could just be one.
I can't remember.
I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But
so
yeah.
That's one I definitely want to read if they ever release as a trade paperback. You know, get Captain Canuck season 1, 2, and 3. Read them back to back. Read Fallen Sun. Read Invasion.
I'm really dying for like the season 2 trade paperback.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe I'll just buy the issues digitally so I can read them rather than dig them out of a long box.
Yeah, I gave away my copy of. The second printing of the season 1 to a kid who I'm trying to introduce to Captain Canuck. So I went and I was in Walmart and they had for $14 copies still on the shelf.
Yeah.
So I bought another one for myself and I was doing some quick math in my head just trying to figure it out. I think that's my 8th copy of that book that I bought and or sold or gave into somebody or you know passed along to... try to spread the Captain Canuck mythos.
Yeah. Walmart have it?
Yeah, there are copies of them in Walmart in the book section.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Good.
It was good.
Speaking of Captain Canuck trade paperbacks, Chapter House put out one a couple years ago, soft cover that's got Captain Canuck on the cover. It's the soft cover one that's got issues 1 through 15 plus the newest... Like the summer special from when Canuck came back.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know that one?
Yep.
I saw somebody on eBay today asking $100 for that.
What?
Yeah. So I don't know if it's been discontinued or if they're just crazy or.
Oh yeah, you can't buy it. You can't buy it anymore.
I have one signed by Richard, but it got a tear in the cover, and I'm ashamed.
I'm pretty sure I have. Oh man, I gotta think about this. I know I have the IDW, two volumes. That came out soft, didn't they? And then one that came out hard? Or is it the other way around? The two volumes came out hard and the other one came out soft. But I have the IDW books.
And the IDW books are, like, they can go for an okay amount.
Yeah.
Like, people seem to ask $40-$50 for those.
And then I have one or two copies of the one you're talking about. I think I might have two because I think I have one on my bookshelf and I have one on my bookshelf at work. Huh, $100, eh?
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to watch that auction.
Yeah,
I can use an extra $100.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, for sure, eh? I'm going to put that sucker on there for $90.
That's right.
Undercut the fella.
That's right.
Other than that, what I read this past week was Mort by Kevin Joseph and D.A. Bishop.
Oh, yeah. How'd that come out?
It was pretty good. I picked it up at Grey Guardian. I got them to order it in for me. It was in Diamond, so I just took the code in. I was like, hey, can I get this? And they're like, yeah. So I saw it was coming out, came in, went in, picked it up, read it. It's an entirely silent comic book. There's only like one page or like one box with dialogue. And it's about like the last man on Earth after everybody else is dead.
Well, right on.
And it was good. I would definitely recommend it. As an interesting read, it was it's dark, but not like super dark, but it's like, you know, a little emotionally heavy. But it was a good read. I thought it was interesting to read a comic book with no words, you know, and how much the art has to convey in that, you know?
Yeah, there was that, was it the first issue of Beaver Dam from Eishei Han was like that as well?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a little French in there, wasn't there?
I think there was one dialogue box, and there was a couple of
at the very end too.
There was a couple of caption boxes here and there about you know, what timeline it is.
Yeah, but yeah, like I also feel like there's a maybe a bit of a difference between the two stuff. I just died.
Yeah,
the two styles of books, because like Beaver Dam is a horror book.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, like where just seeing action on screen is what you see there. Whereas this one's more like, I don't know, it feels more like an emotional story. But yes.
Without words.
Without words, yes. He's the last man on Earth, so there's not much to say.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, like who's he going to talk to?
I mean, let's be honest. If we were the last people on Earth, we would probably just be talking to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because you'd want to, you know, hear a voice or see if your throat still works.
That's right.
Yeah, but so. Is that like, you know how folks that go deaf that spoke beforehand, they kind of start losing their enunciation and stuff like that because they can't hear themselves
can't
talking?
Hear themselves, yeah.
If you're the only person left on Earth and you're talking to yourself for 30 years, would your grammar be all screwed up and you'd
probably
come up with like these weird shortcuts and stuff and
yeah.
Somebody does a comic book about it and starts like writing weird dialogue to try to be hip and cool, and you, as a comic reader, find it really difficult. So
yeah,
what comic book did that recently? They had all sorts of slang in it to the point where it was like, I can't read this.
I know Paper Girls, the future people have a weird way of talking.
Yeah. But I think like in that one, I mean, they obviously have a weird way of talking, but you're not really supposed to understand it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's not like you're.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the kind of the point. Like, they're alien.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. X. Anybody read that?
No.
I skipped it completely.
I don't even know what it is.
So, the big wedding in X-Men.
Okay.
Kitty Pryde and Colossus, and apparently they didn't get married.
Nope.
So, Gambit proposes to Rogue, and so now there's a new comic book called Mr. and Mrs. X. And I don't know. I think somebody should get their butt sued over this. I feel like the people that did Mr. and Mrs. Smith have a case here, and they can say something, but I don't know. I didn't read it.
It's kind of, just call it Rogue and Gambit. Like, why call it Mr. and Mrs. X? It's just, anyways.
I didn't read it.
Yeah.
Now, my buddy Harry read The Adventures of the Super Sons. I liked Super Sons as a comic. I thought it was really good. Then Bendis comes along, so we got to cancel the book.
Mm.
And started all over again with a new number one, and we're going to call it The Adventures of the Super Sons, and it's a 12-issue maxi series. So I feel like they told the original writers of Super Sons, look, we're going to go on a little bit of a hiatus here, let Bendis have the spotlight, introducing Man of Steel and Superman, and then you can finish off your story, and we'll give you 12 issues.
Well, John's in space with Lois, is he not?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read it. It's one book I really wanted to read this week, and I totally forgot because I'm like in the process of moving and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely forgot to read it. Harry said it was good. He says I'm going to like it, and I'm like, ah. So I went out and I physically bought a copy at Grey Guardian on Wednesday, and I'm just, oh, man. I put it on my pull list, sight unseen, and I'm like angry at myself now. Now it's like, oh, you fell victim to the new number ones, and... And but, you know, again, Davis is in on my shoulder going, but you want to read it. You liked it. So why not go for it? Don't worry about the numbering. It's just a thing. It's the story that you want to enjoy. And he's not wrong. But still, it's kind of annoying. Why did they have to do that?
Yeah. And what about Action 1001?
I didn't read that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little light on the reading thing. A little light on the reading. What I did read, though, and what came in... due to a friendly neighborhood mail carrier, was Orc of the Great White North, number 0, Special Remastered Edition. I think we talked about this a little bit.
Yeah.
But our buddy Andrew and Davis and Sharon, our buddies, they wrote the original Orc of the Great White North, number 0. They're at issue, what, 3 now? 4?
At least four.
At least four. And what they decided to do is reprint number one, and they've reprinted it a few times with different covers and stuff. But Andrew had the brainstorm of actually redrawing every panel in the comic. Mm-hmm. He feels that he kind of has changed a little bit. His artistic style's changed a little bit. His skill level's a little bit better. So he wanted to tackle redrawing it. So for the latest reprint, he redrew the entire book.
Mm-hmm.
So more detail, and I was reading them page by page, like the original and this one side by side, really noticing the difference in the art. And I thought it was a cool idea. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to reprint your book and you got some time and effort and you want to redraw your book, this is a cool idea.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew must have been bored out of his mind. He could have been drawing somebody else's comic book, like, I don't know, Captain Polska or something. But no, he's got to redraw his own book instead of just reprinting it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really cool. And it came with a bunch of different really cool variants. You looked this one up. Tillsonburg Fair Comic Con from David Wildstar's Pop Culture Canada. Yeah. So it's Ark of the Great White North number 0. But this is a Jim Lee homage of what issue?
It was one of the X-Men covers. I didn't see what it was.
Not Uncanny X-Men, but X-Men.
X-Men, yeah.
So from the 90s, an X-Men cover homage. It's a really cool cover.
Number 11 of the X-Men series.
And they got the Great North Comics logo looking like the Marvel logo.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be a little bit editorially critical of that little banner at the top corner there. I feel like there's some lines there that shouldn't have been lines for there. Maybe needed another pass by a
That's an, probably why that was the original.
Yeah, but the lines don't go through, right?
Yeah.
But a very cool cover. Looks nice. And, of course, the one that really caught everybody's eye. I can't remember which con this came from, and it's probably printed on the back, and I don't want to pull it out of the bag, but this is Dan Day doing an homage cover to the famous Captain America punching Hitler in the face issue, Ark of the Great White North number 0. This cover is brilliant. My goodness. It just pulls all the nostalgia strings, and I'm going to guess that Donovan Jacek had something to do with the coloring, because he's like a master of doing these aged books that look like they're aged. I mean, there's a coffee ring in it. There are corners ripped out. I'm using air quotes here. It's got a fake fold in the corner. It just looks fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just such a book with so much character. So, yeah, I got that from Dave Wildstar. He came by with posters promoting the Peterborough Comic Con happening in September 27th, I want to say. I can't remember. Once we get closer to the event, we might have Dave on the radio show to promote the thing. He was telling me about a couple of really cool guests he's thinking of lining up, and I got really, really super excited. And if this happens, I can tell you right here now that the very significant population of the Mego comic, Mego toy collecting community will be making the trek up to Peterborough if this happens. So, but that's not my news to announce. So I'm saying nothing further.
September 23rd,
really?
Yeah.
What's happening September 22nd? I feel like something's happening. Football game. I'm going to go see a football game Saturday 22nd.
Which football game?
Toronto Argonauts versus the Saskatchewan Roughriders at BMO Field.
BMO.
Do you guys have any idea how hard it is to find a triple X Saskatchewan Roughriders shirt in Peterborough in time to get your name stitched on the back?
I'm going to say yes, I know how hard that is because I saw your Facebook post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not easy. Even mail order. Nobody's got, how should we say this, huskier boy sizes. Or the husky boy sizes.
Yeah.
But anyways,
yeah,
is what it is.
Yeah.
Anything else cool and exciting happening?
Season finale of Cloak & Dagger was last night.
Oh yeah,
I love it. I think it's a great show.
Gifted was good, or is this better, or worse than Gifted, or Runaways? Give us a comparison.
Runaways good, I think.
Yeah.
I can't compare it to Gifted because I stopped not on purpose, but Brownish episode 4 or 5.
So Gifted lost steam for you, like it did for me.
It just got put on the back burner. It's still there. Yeah. I'm just going to watch it.
Something else came up. That's what happened to me, too. So I stopped watching Gifted. But I never got into Runaways, and I never got into Cloak & Dagger. So
Runaways, they're both great shows.
But you read the books, right? The Marvel books?
I read Runaways.
I don't know if I, as a DC kid, would appreciate it the same.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, spoiler, sorry, but it was pretty cool. The cloak, I know, I don't remember him. I kind of remember him teleporting, but that was his big, on the show, his first, that's kind of what he does, is teleports. Mm-hmm. But I more remember him opening up his cloak and bringing people into some demon hell dimension, in, like inside him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like what he
was a portal to. Yeah, I recall that.
So I'm sitting there watching, I was watching it this morning, I'm watching the last episode, and, you know, the bad guy comes running at him, and he just, not even on purpose, he just kind of opens up his arms, and the guy just finally disappears right into his stomach tag. Oh, yeah, that's the cloak I remember.
There we go.
Awesome. And he's like, oh, okay. That was interesting.
That's new.
Yeah. So, it's good. And they, you know, it was a good, you know, we saved the day cliffhanger, but one of the good guys is now not so good, but we don't know how they'll take that. But Runaways, you got to watch Runaways. I thought it was great. Season 2 is coming out soon.
I got I got a Fire Stick. Like I said, I'm moving, right? So yeah. I've got like a small TV and my big ass surround sound, and everything's all boxed up and mm-hmm. ready to move. So I got this small TV with a Fire Stick hooked up to it. So I've been kind of exploring what's on the Fire Stick. As far, no, it's not hacked like your, I mean, it's not augmented like yours is. This is straight from Amazon. Mm-hmm. But I didn't notice any of that stuff on there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's like a Netflix Canada thing it's going to show up.
Well, Cloak and Dagger, it's on a weird channel. I can't, but it almost seems like it was for kids, but if you watch it, it's not for kids.
Yeah. Cuz that's what happened to Black Lightning. Black Lightning is supposed to be on the CW streaming mm-hmm. service only, but because we don't have that up here in Canada, Canadian Netflix got it.
Yeah.
So you can watch on Netflix. So I was wondering if the same thing's happening, like are we going to be able to see this on a Canadian service or
I would think so. Now that the season's done, they'll probably put it somewhere else.
Yeah, so hopefully I can stream it somehow and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, you should check out Runaways, too. It was good.
I got to watch Greatest American Hero. I bought the DVD set at Chumley's.
Yeah.
Because, again, everything's disconnected. So I was like, oh, yay, DVDs. I'm going to watch this DVD. Yeah, no, DVD player, boxed up. Mm-hmm. Gone. Blu-ray player, boxed up. Xbox, no, it gets boxed up. PS4, traded in, it's gone. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, oh. Yeah, I got a little bit of a rant about that, but I don't know if we want to get into it, about streaming and all that sort of stuff.
Nah.
My internet was down. So I'm like, oh, cool, back in the day, I'll just watch TV like through an antenna, right?
Yeah.
Coat hanger in the back, yeah, no.
No.
Oh, I'll play this disc, no. I'll watch this on my PVR. Nope, that was boxed up too. I literally, my only form of entertainment in the entire house was internet, and it was off, and I couldn't do anything. No streaming, no nothing. Even my music, I'm listening to music through my Google Home with Google Play and YouTube music, and I'm like, oh yeah, no music for me either. I got nothing.
Yeah.
I figured I'd have to read or something, like actual physically read stuff.
That'd be
Could you imagine?
Yeah. Yeah.
The chaos. And yet I'm still sitting here not having read as many books as I should have.
Yeah.
Oh, are we ready for Fantastic Four number one? Is that this Wednesday or next Wednesday?
Yeah. Next week. Yeah.
It's already sold out.
Already sold out?
Apparently.
Second print started. Coming. Oh, yeah. How's a book sold out that hasn't even hit the streets yet?
Yeah.
I mean, especially because you know that it's going to be heavily ordered.
Yeah, for sure.
This is going to be sitting in comic shops everywhere.
Oh, exactly. So I'm not
sold out.
I'm not struggling to find a copy, but I mean, you know how that works, right? It's
sold out at the distributor.
At the distributor. So let's print some more copies. And my phone is exploding here. I don't know what's going on. I wonder if it's Penny.
All I know is there's a really sweet Arthur Adams cover to that Fantastic Four number one. I don't know what kind of breakdown it is, but it's...
Who's doing it? Like, is it a store variant, or...?
It was actually a commission that he did, like, last year. But it's so... Like, I can't even describe this cover, because it's, like, every single Fantastic Four-related character is on this cover. And it's so detailed. It's just crazy. But I don't know what the breakdown is. Hold on. I'll have to see.
Issue one is $6 US?
How many pages?
I don't know. It doesn't say in this particular article.
3 pages.
$6 US. That's going to be a $10 Canadian book.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Sold out at the distributor.
It better be good. It better be good.
Next, the next hot book to flip.
Yeah.
Because it's sold out.
Now, mind you, Gotham Central Collectibles in Mississauga, our friend Carlos, he had a really cool Mike Mayhew variant cover.
Mm-hmm.
Looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And I saw that he's got like all sorts of CGC options. If you go to Facebook,
yeah,
there's like a whack of CGC options, so you can get them signed, not signed, and Virgin covers and covers with logos and black and white covers and 6 million different covers. But it's really cool. Was it Giant Size X-Men?
Yeah.
Homage.
Homage, yeah.
Homages. Homages are the thing.
Yeah.
Even I'm doing an homage. I like homages.
This show is just an homage to a show where we had stuff to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. Or an homage. It's my homage.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a Marvel event starting. Did you guys...
Oh, my gosh. Know, which one's this one? Extinction?
No, Infinity War. And yeah,
that was that weasel on one of the comic book groups. He's like, yo, 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 dog. Yo, like Gamora, go get whacked. Like, yo. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Who, what, when, where, why, and how? Like, can you get like some context? Like, what are you blithering on about? Like some white rapper? Like,
yeah.
What? So then I dug into it, and yeah, like, Infinity War number one, I guess, has something to do with her.
I don't know, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not reading that.
No.
We're real excited about
it. We are
it.
Really sucky at promoting Marvel right now.
Yeah. Well, Wolverine's back soon, so... Well, he's back now,
with flaming claws? What is that all about?
Yeah.
Did you read anything about that?
I tried to, but I couldn't get
it. Like, I'll be honest with you, I just... I was at the... Oh, there it is. The Fantastic Four Mike Mayhew cover. Gosh, that looks good.
Hmm?
Oh. If I was going to go chase a variant cover of this book, that's the one I would chase.
Yeah.
That looks really sharp. Available from Gotham Central in Mississauga.
Hmm.
But, yeah, he's got CGC 9.8s, Virgin cover, regular cover. He's got Signature Series, Virgin covers... Is this one signed? Oh, wow. This one's signed by Stan Lee and Mike Mayhew.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that one, and I was like, man, like, I still want to get a Stan Lee autographed book.
Mm-hmm.
But.
I wanted to do that, too.
Pricey.
I wanted to get a Stan Lee book, and I went on I went on Fleabay, and I ended up getting, I can't remember what it is, Avengers 25 or Avengers 37 or Avengers 42, one of those. Signed by Stan in a yellow label slab for like $60 Canadian shipped. I was like, done. Done.
It's just that guy posted on, I think it was the forum. It was, I don't know what, I don't think, maybe it was 300, Amazing Spider-Man 300, but McFarlane had signed it.
Yeah.
But then when Stan Lee signed it, he signed right over Todd's signature.
Oh, no way.
And it came back at like a 9.4 or something, so Buddy was trying to get rid of it.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
But that's because, like, Stan, doesn't have the greatest eyesight on the planet right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. He just put his pen down.
So, Stan, yeah, right? Somebody pointed sign here, and he just signed it. So I don't think Stan's, like, intentionally slamming
so
Todd and signing on top of Todd's autograph.
No.
Oh, my goodness, I got a yawn.
Wow, we're all tired.
So this is our second last show of the summer. We got one more show next week.
Mm-hmm.
We may have to preempt it because we got nothing to talk about.
Well, if Sam's here, Sam's read comics, he said.
Well, there you go.
Lots and lots of comics.
Well, where is he now? He's got to tell us about the comics he read because since we didn't read enough.
He's at the theater.
At the theater.
There's got to be some like comic news.
You would think
that we haven't talked about, but
Fan Expo a few weeks away.
Fan Expo,
yeah. Some of the guests are being announced more and more, and I guess even though Kevin Boyd is trying to do his best, there's still a ton of confusion over what John Byrne will and will not sign.
Yeah, Kevin's pretty, seems pretty adamant that he will sign anything.
Well, the,
from what
the,
I read.
The idea, this is what I've gotten out of it, and I could be reading incorrectly. I could have my conclusions wrong. So if they're wrong, I apologize to everybody right away. But this is how it's sounding like to me. There's an actual signing session with John Byrne and William Shatner. And in the purchase price is the Star Trek book that John Byrne's doing.
Yeah.
And because it's promoting one of John's current works, and that's an automatic, he's happy to sign two other items for the same price.
Of your choice.
Of your choice.
Says. Yeah.
And everyone is thinking, because he because there is a current book there, he'll sign your Marvel stuff. Because what it is John's looking forward. He's not looking backwards. You know, he wants to promote his current stuff. He wants to sell his current stuff because he has a mortgage and stuff. He, you know, he's not getting any money from you buying an old copy of Uncanny X-Men. So if you come up to him with just a copy of Uncanny X-Men, like, sign my book, apparently he's a little, you know, touchy slash sensitive about that, and he may or may not refuse depending what his mood is like. Now, if you bring his current work, which I think right now is that Star Trek photo novella that he's doing, and a Marvel book, he might go, oh, cool, you got my new stuff. You're promoting my new stuff. You're helping me pay my current mortgage. Here's your signature. Yeah, I'll sign your Marvel book.
Yeah.
So that's what it's sounding like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, really, you can't blame a guy for wanting to promote his current stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like the guy wants to look forward, not backwards, and that's understandable. But man, dude, you have such a massive fan base based on that classic work.
Yeah.
Like the only book I own that I would even consider paying to have John Byrne sign anything in is Alpha Flight, number one.
Yeah.
You know, because that book meant a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I had an Alpha Flight Omnibus hardcover, which I don't at the moment. I don't know. Was Alpha Flight ever released as a Marvel Masterworks?
I've never seen one.
Yeah. But if I had, like, a hardcover Marvel, Alpha Flight, I would love for him to do a little head sketch of Vindicator, Guardian, or Sasquatch or something with a little, hey, Martin, thanks for being a fan. I would love that. Like, I've got one of those from Neil Adams, his Green Arrow, Green Lantern run. So there's a little head sketch of Green Lantern, and it's in blackest day and brightest night. Hey, Martin, your pal, Neil Adams. Yeah, well, he used to be my pal.
Used to be.
Anyways, so I would do that.
Yeah.
But this Star Trek photo book, like, it's just, that's just not me. Like,
yeah.
I'm you know, no dissing anybody who likes it, but that's not my kind of thing.
No.
I did read John's book that he did. I'm not sure if it's the one immediately before that or not, called Sideways. The Sideways. Oh, no, The Highways.
Highways?
I think it was called The Highways. Not Highway Car, but High Space Ways. Hmm. It was about a space science fiction-y type thing. And it was okay. It wasn't the best science fiction comic I've read that year, but it was all right. It was a good book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his art is still John Byrne-ish.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think I'd pay $100 to have him sign that book.
Yeah.
So...
But
anyways.
That's what it costs for that package.
Yeah.
But you're getting Shatner too, though, right?
Yeah, sorry. Yes, you're getting William Shatner's autograph. You're getting John Byrne's autograph. You're getting a limited edition version of this Star Trek. I can't remember whether it's a hardcover of all the issues, a soft cover of all the issues, a hardcover of issue one with some additional material. It's special for the convention, if I recall correctly. And a photo session with the two. And a couple of extra books signed if you want. So, I mean, it sounds like a decent package. I don't know what the pricing's like.
I don't think the pricing was even that bad. Like, $130, or $150.
To get both William Shatner and?
Yeah, like, I don't know for sure, but that's what I thought I saw. But
So it sounds like a reasonable package to me anyways. But, you know, that's, again, if you're into that sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking at some of the signatures, because they put the photo ops on, and I see Dan scrolling through them there. There's a couple there. I was thinking about the Stargate Atlantis group shot. It's Flanagan. What was Flanagan's first name?
Joe.
He was, like, the lead army guy in Stargate Atlantis, and Jason Momoa was a character in Stargate Atlantis, and I really liked that TV show. I thought it was pretty cool.
That was a good show. That. You know what just what blew my mind, though, is when I saw that Richard Dean Anderson is going to be there.
Nice.
Richard Dean Anderson. I loved Stargate SG-1. It was literally one of my favorite shows, and I love Richard Dean Anderson. And now I'm going to have to, like...
And MacGyver?
I'm going to have to walk by and, you know, take a long-distance photo.
Now, did he do any kind of guest appearance in Stargate Atlantis? I can't remember.
A couple times. Like, so just brief ones. Like,
that would be awesome if he was included in that Stargate Atlantis
one. He probably isn't.
Yeah, he did a presentation a few years ago on the Sunday. It was around, like, before The Walking Dead or after The Walking Dead. And so we sat and watched him. And he was pretty funny. It was funny because Christine went up front to take his picture, but she did that where you hit the button, it takes like 20 pictures in a second.
Yeah.
But the sound was turned full up. He stopped and he's going, what the hell was that?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Volume down. Volume.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I still don't know what I'm doing for Fan Expo. I know I got tickets for all 5 days and I got a hotel room booked. Hotel room booked. Yeah. But I don't know if I'm going to make it. Like, last year I didn't make it all 5 days. Just physically got worn out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. No. And I destroyed myself carrying all my luggage from the train station to the hotel.
Yeah.
Like a moron. This year I learned how to spell Uber, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's some cool stuff there. The Lucy Lawless, man. Oh, God, Lucy. Jeez Louise.
Oh, forget Lucy. What about Renee?
Oh, yes. Renee's there as well.
The sidekick. Yeah.
Gabrielle.
Gabrielle, yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a photo op with the two of them.
That's crazy.
That'd be, yeah. Kabam. Talk about celebrity crushes. Kabam.
Yeah. Leah Thompson. Oh. Friday.
Yeah, Leah Thompson's there.
That's where I'm going Friday morning when the door opens. I don't care what time she gets there.
Did you see the whole Back to the Future cast will do a photo op, too?
Yeah.
Like Michael J. Fox and Leah Thompson and who else is there?
Christopher Lloyd and
Christopher Lloyd's there?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Christopher Lloyd is there.
And Biff.
Whatever. I forget. What is Biff's real name?
Biff.
Don't know. He's not cool enough to be on here as far as I can
tell. Oh, I'm sure he is if you keep scrolling. Biff's all right.
No, it's not the hugest list here that I'm looking at.
I know he's there. He is Tom Wilson.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Or the Princess Bride cast. Get a photograph with the Princess Bride. Inconceivable. God, that'd be awesome, too.
Yeah.
And there goes your money for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the problem. It'd be cool to meet these people and say hi and stuff like this, but is it really worth bucks? Is it really worth dollars to do it?
$105 to get your picture with Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. Like, I got a picture with Stan Lee. Because he's my guy, you know, he's an icon in the industry.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd go out of my way to take a picture with someone else, but you're a huge, massive Leah Thompson fan, so you're interested in a picture with her. So
well,
that would
be, not a picture, but I want to meet her and get something.
So that would be something you chase. Or if somebody's really, really enamored with the Degrassi TV show, then they want to get a picture with the Degrassi cast and stuff like that. I got a picture with the Frantics.
Oh, yeah.
Four on the Floor, because I'm a big Frantics fan. So
yeah.
It's one of those things where I'm sure it appeals to everybody. Like, something appeals to someone.
Yeah.
Like, trying to make it as approachable as possible. But I don't see any, you know, even Sam, he's a big pop culture fan and he loves getting celebrity autographs. I don't think I've ever heard him ever say that he went to one of these shows and got everybody's picture, you know, everybody's autograph.
Yeah.
I'm sure some shows had more autographs that he wanted than others, but I don't think he'd got every single one. So, but that's not really what it's for, right?
Yeah. When's that presentation, Dan? The Back to the Future? Is that Saturday?
August 31st, whichever day that is.
Gosh, I can't remember.
That's
the Friday.
That's the Friday. All right, well.
So we'll see how it goes.
Wow. Backstage with the cast, $1,100.
Yeah.
Wow.
Backstage with what cast?
The cast of Back to the Future.
Well, I guess, I mean, if
gold ticket to an evening with the cast of Back to the Future.
A whole evening?
A whole evening.
Is that like that Stanley breakfast where it was like a full auditorium and?
Yeah. So their presentation's late then?
What time did it say? Yeah, 7 p.m.
No, it might be tough to do that.
Oh. past Chris's bedtime.
Yeah. That's right.
Past all of our bedtimes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We are not spring chickens. What? The Jurassic Park Jeep?
Yep.
You'll be able to feel the rain in the Jurassic Park Jeep. Isn't it just like a regular Jeep?
Yeah.
It pretty much looks
like,
a
regular the Batmobile
Jeep. There's a Doctor Who themed escape room. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have you gotten over your Doctor Who-y issues?
Ha-ha! Yes. I had, had somebody ask me. Somebody who hadn't heard the rant.
Oh, yeah?
I was just in Sunrise, and somebody was like, hey, what do you think of the new Doctor Who trailer? And I was like, just listen to the last episode.
Yeah.
What do you mean? And I'm like, okay, fine. If you're going to make me get into it in the middle of the store, fine, I will.
Here we go.
And then I was like, no, like, I mean, the thing with every thing is that, you know, when you let some time pass and you're like, you know what, I don't even care anymore.
Well, it's like my Spider-Man 2 rant. I'm sure by issue 3, I'll be like, oh, okay, let's go with it.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like your Spider-Man 2, like I was going to say, I feel like they pulled a bait and switch.
Yeah.
On you with that.
Instead of doing it right away in issue 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, they get you all.
They gave you all the touchy feelies in issue 1, and you're all like, oh, look, everybody's back. Bam!
Yeah.
Kabam! There you go, baby.
Like, I mean, are we just going to start using Spencered as a verb to describe when your character gets demolished?
Like, I get it.
Yeah, that are bendisted.
You know, you got to try to get things. Yeah, bendist. You got to get things going. You got to get, you know, some original stories and stuff like this. You got to, like, keep everybody engaged. But I just feel like this wave that's going on with Captain America and Fantastic Four and Spider-Man, everybody just wanted, just give us a year of classic stories for a little bit. Just kind of assuage our little butt hurt feelings over all the social justice warrior nonsense that's been going on and the craziness and you know, changing characters for the sake of change instead of for the sake of story. Like, just give us something comfortable for a bit, and they're not.
But it's not even like they're doing any of those things. They're literally just, we're like, here's a great story. Note.
Yeah.
You know, like, because you know what the thing is, people were mad that, and I did actually never finish whatever that Marvel event was that had Captain America as a Nazi.
Oh,
what event was that?
Civil War 2?
No, it was before that.
Invasion 6?
I stopped paying for my Marvel
Secret
Unlimited.
Secret Invasion 4?
Subscription. But, like, you know, the thing about turning... The thing about turning a good guy into a bad guy is you know they're just going to undo it.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of a...
And only notable things, like, where it hasn't happened, maybe, like, when Hal Jordan went bad in the early 90s and stayed bad for 15 years until Geoff Johns changed him back. But
changed
he also just
back.
Disappeared completely from the face of the comic books, right?
Yeah, Parallax.
Yes, Parallax. You know, like, they didn't... It's not like they kept him around and he was a menace for a bunch of years. Like, they did this and then he just kind of disappeared. And, you know, maybe he came back once in a while, whatever. But when you take a good guy and you make them bad, you know that it's not going to stick.
Yeah,
I don't
know
why you pretend. That's... We can't keep pretending.
Well, I'm also, like, I'm still confused. Like, Dr. Octavius is back as a spider? Spider-Oc?
I guess.
Chris would know more about that than I do, being a Marvel guy.
Read the question.
What's wrong with what's going on with Dr. Octopus now? He's a Spider-Man character again? He's Spider-Oc? Or
he's, I don't know. I just know he's
Doc
super
Spidey
slim,
or?
And now they're doing a Superior Octopus or something.
So he's getting his own book back?
Apparently,
and,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, come on, man.
Yeah.
I know I'm saying we want some classic stories, which sounds like we want you to rehash some of the old stuff. But can you guys stop rehashing some of the old stuff that didn't? You know, like, that's recent? Like, the Superior Spider-Man arc was fun. It was interesting. You know, oh, man. I can hear Davis right now. Oh, you liked Superior Spider-Man, but you didn't like Spider-Man and Peter Parker being split apart, eh? He's not wrong. You know, give it a chance. It's only been one issue.
Yeah.
But still, it's... I don't know.
But it's one... Know. It's not been one issue. It's been two issues.
Yeah.
One issue giving you what you want, and then the next issue taking that away from a writer who has a proven track record of character assassination.
Yeah, I'm hearing you too. I'm definitely hearing what you're saying.
I literally have no stake in this because I could care less what happens to Spider-Man. I'm not a Spider-Man fan, so I don't care. But I'm just saying, like, the thing is, there's the old adage, fool me once, shame on me. Or shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
Like they could have made Amazing Spider-Man number one a $6 US book and put both of those stories together so that it all happened in one book.
But then Spider-Man number one is going to a second printing.
Yeah, maybe.
So, well, it said that in the same article. It said Fantastic Four is going to a second printing. So, like,
and how many stores still have piles and piles of Amazing Spider-Man number one?
But how many people aren't going to pick it up because issue two does the old flip-flop?
Yeah.
You know, like,
That's the problem. Like, that's what really gets me, is they hype the snot out of issue one, knowing for a fact that it's going to be a small boost, and they're going to have to restart again in a few months anyways to get that boost again. Like, just make a quality story and people will follow the quality story.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, man, I just don't get it.
Yeah, and the fact that it said issue number one and then Legacy 702 or something, it's like, come on, just pick a numbering system and stick with it.
Yeah, I'm slowly getting over the numbering stuff, like, but I just don't get this Super Sons thing, like... You know, why did that have to get restarted? And it's a mini series, and you know it's ending. And I don't know. Just pump out some good comics. I just want to read good comics.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I feel really bad because I've been kind of catching up on some books digitally and leaving the physical copies in my comic book because I'm packing, right? So everything's boxed up. And it's easy for me to find digital copies of the Marvel and the DC books using Comixology and Marvel Unlimited and stuff like this and other nefarious means. And it's harder to find things like Aftershock and Chapter House and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So I have a stack of Aftershock books that I haven't even touched.
Yeah.
Like, I just said Aftershock, but Oblivion Song, I'm like 4 issues behind on that from Image. Aftershock, I think I got 3 issues of Walkthrough, what's that called? Where's Sam when you need him? A walk through Hell. I got 3 issues of that I haven't read. Brothers Dracul number one I haven't read. Pestilence, I'm 1 issue behind, I haven't read it. So I know there's some really, really top-notch comics that I haven't dug into that are sitting in my box, and I really need to find some quiet time and yeah, read that, but...
Yeah, I got about 15 issues of Descender to read.
Oh, man. I liked Descender when it first came out. And then they had, like, a little hiatus there, and I lost interest. And like, that's the problem with so many good books coming out. I'm sorry, guys, but the patience just isn't there to stick with it if your storyline starts fading or you start doing strange things like splitting characters in half. And, like, honestly, I'm sitting there going... Instead of this Spider-Man book, I could get this in this book. It's not like I'm sitting there with unlimited budget going, yeah, well, I'll give it 6 issues to see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like TV shows. Back in the day, you'd have 2-3 years before they'd cancel a show and just move it to different time slots. Now it's like, well, if you're not hitting your ratings by episode 3, we're canceling the whole thing. We're not showing the rest of the seasons.
Yeah.
So it's a problem, but, I mean, it's just the way it is.
Except then Netflix picks it up and makes 7 more seasons.
Hopefully.
Yep.
Hopefully. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
What's next entertainment-wise? Is it Aquaman in November? That's next movie-wise?
I don't go to... Oh, I did go to a movie.
What?
Ooh. Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
There you go.
Yes. Yes, I forgot. Went and took my kids to see the movie.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Lots of good songs. I like a good Teen Titans song.
A good Teen Titans song. That's funny.
There's also... So there was a cameo in the movie.
Okay.
From Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm not 100%, I haven't looked it up yet. I'm not 100% sure if it was actually him or just them pretending to be him, but it sounded like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, if that is him, that's cool and great that he did, like it was about him trying to do a classic Stanley cameo in the back, but then nobody's noticing, so he gets closer and closer to the camera until he's basically just like in front of the camera, like, and then he's talking to the camera like, it's Stanley with another classic cameo,
pay attention to me.
And you know, it was great if that was him, and if, you know, that might be his last cameo.
Yeah,
you never know.
I'm trying to remember, in the comic books, in Marvel Comics, they had a character with glasses and a blue suit and a red tie called Clark. And I can't remember whether he was running around the Daily Bugle or just running around New York in general. And I'm trying to remember whether it was Avengers or Spider-Man, but he showed up 3 or 4 times, mm-hmm. this character named Clark with glasses and the blue suit and a red tie. And I always thought that was a kick every time I saw that. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
I want to say Christine spotted him in Cloak and Dagger, too, briefly.
Who? Stan?
Yeah. Yeah. She spotted him before I did because he was way in the back. I think it was
you were intent on the action.
That's right.
She was just staring off into the distance and saw him.
Yeah. Hey, that's Stanley.
Can I assume we're not touching the James Gunn thing with a 10-foot pole?
Yeah.
Well, we certainly don't have time in the last 3 minutes.
Just remember, once it's out there, it's out there.
Yes. Delete your browser history.
Yeah.
Clean up your tweets.
Yeah. Didn't we already talk about this?
I'm not sure, did we?
Because, like, didn't I say, how come he doesn't have an intern going through and wiping?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, we did.
Wiping out all his old tweets.
I don't know.
You know what would make, Disney hire him back, though? Besides the cast signing a letter, like, saying, like, we would like him back. How about they just don't work? How about they say, we signed up for a movie directed by him. We're not gonna be in the movie then.
Yeah. And how long?
Are you attempting to say that somebody should attempt to challenge the massive, ginormous legal building that resides on the Disney campus?
Yeah.
Yes.
Disney must own. Disney must employ half the lawyers in the U.S.
Probably.
Like, it's crazy.
But what I know that they will probably, like, if something like that happened, they would have a knee jerk, like, all right, here's a team of lawyers. But the publicity alone would be enough to, you know, get some lawyers on the other side.
I guess my next question is, if you're James Gunn, do you bother going back? Or are you like, you know what, guys? Here's 2 fingers for you to read, 1 on each hand. I'm done with you. You pitched me. You threw me out.
I'm going to go work on my movie Guardians of the Universe.
That's right.
Featuring...
I'm gonna do the new Green Lantern Peter Squill core movie at Warner Brothers. I'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll tackle this project I've had on the back burner for the last 10 years because I was doing your big budget movie. See you later, alligator.
But, mm-hmm. I just to reiterate, because I probably already said this last time, but, like, they took his script and then fired him.
Oh!
They have his script, and then they fired him as director. Mm-hmm. Like, that is...
As long as he got paid as writer.
But that's... They're like, okay, well, thanks for the script to wrap everything up. We're not going to have you direct it. Because, as we said, anybody could direct it at this point. Because there's 3 movies. This is the 3rd one. You could just...
Here's the tone.
You know, yeah, it's already set. But they took his script.
They get that New Zealander who did Thor Ragnarok. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get him to do it.
You know what? If you don't want him to direct, then get another script.
Yeah.
Don't say he's not good enough to direct the movie, but he is good enough to write it.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, I mean, his name is going to be in the credits.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
We found our rant, finally.
There you go.
At the end.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess that's all the time we got for our second to last summer episode here.
Somebody show up next Friday with a case of Red Bull.
There you go.
Case of Red Bull. And if you want to hear shows where we have some energy, check us out on iTunes and Google Play and...
Stitcher.
I'm sure one of those shows is good. Until next week, Excelsior.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?